This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
And you are on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine. Now, we've had this gentleman on before, which we often do with a lot of the important galleries around town. And this one is beyond a gallery because it's a sculpture park and gallery. Do you know where I'm talking about? It's down south, or south east, I think it probably is. I'm talking about McLaren Sculpture Park and Gallery. We've got on the line Simon Laurie. Are you there, Simon?
I am, David. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. It's good to have you back on. Happy New Year to you.
And to you, too.
Now, tell us, what the Sculpture Park and Gallery, where is it? Was I right? Is it southeast? Is that...
Yes, that's correct. So we're in Lang Warren, in fact, which is near Frankston. It's a 45-minute drive from the city. Down East Link and Peninsula Link, and you can see some great public artwork on the way as well.
Yes, which you're involved in that, aren't you? You help curate that, don't you?
That's right, on the Peninsula Link section, so closer to McLaren down there.
Yep.
We have a series of commissions every couple of years that we manage and install. We're sculpture park, as you say, 16 hectares of bushland with over 120 sculptures throughout that you can explore.
Wow.
Take an afternoon picnic and, it's a beautiful place to be, particularly at the moment.
And what I love about it, Simon, is that, there is the lawn out the front, as you said, the picnic area, but then when you go on the adventure, you're walking through a bit of bushland and all of a sudden you come across the sculpture. It's a real adventure, isn't it, for people of all ages?
That's right, and it's curated in a way, particularly towards the back area of the park where it is a lot more dense bushland, to provide that experience of discovery and adventure. So it's really popular with kids, but also with adults. It's a really great adventure.
Yeah, and now the perfect time to be going down there because the kids are on holidays and a lot of parents are still on holidays as well. So you're open during the week, aren't you? So it's a good outing for the family.
That's right. Yeah, we're open Wednesday to Sunday at present.
Yep.
And we do require bookings as well just for COVID safety and,
right.
and tracking and such. But
yep.
We're open 10 to 5. Wednesday to Sunday. The park's nice and lush at the moment after a bit of rain. So, it's great place to be.
And there is also a gallery inside the building because there's a cafe / restaurant, isn't there? And there's a gallery inside as well. So if it is a little bit rainy like it was earlier this morning, you could at least go into the gallery side.
That's right. So there's plenty to see inside as well. We've got a beautiful modernist gallery built in 1971 that has three exhibition spaces. So we have anywhere from three to maybe six exhibitions each year throughout those spaces. And we'll actually, today is the last day of an exhibition by Erwin Fabian and Anne-Marie May, two Melbourne-based sculptors. And we'll be closing the galleries for a couple of weeks from tomorrow to install the next exhibition, which is very exciting, which is based on sound art and sonic art as ecological practice.
Right. Now, you're doing a lot of sonic stuff, aren't you? Because the currently outside Sight and Sound exhibition, because it's visual, but it's also audio as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's great. So mostly the works in the show, and so Sight and Sound, Sonic Art as Ecological Practices, the exhibition, which already has a number of works installed in the sculpture park. So yep. It's an exhibition that will evolve over the coming months. So the first installations were, and there's three of them in the sculpture park, were put in place in early December. And the indoor component of the exhibition will be installed in yep. January and open on the 27th.
Right. So what's the connection with RMIT? Because they're involved in this, aren't they?
That's right. So we partnered with RMIT for this exhibition, which really it looks at sound art and sound as a medium that artists are using to approach environmental issues and our relationship to nature and the environment. So all manner of environments, that is natural or suburban, and really it's an extension of McLuhan's own interest in environment and spatial practice. But we partnered with RMIT because they have really kind of Australia's first dedicated collection of sound art. And they've got a wonderful collection of both Australian and international artists who work with sound and purely sound as a medium for artistic expression.
Right.
And a great deal of that work focuses on, I guess, a niche in sound art, which is field recording practice. So you could almost see it as a corollary to, I guess, landscape painting in a way, or landscape photography, where it's a sonic representation of the landscape. So often remote areas like Antarctica can be kind of presented as an immersive experience, and purely through sound.
Wow. I find that absolutely fascinating that that's the practice that is happening now. You know, like, it must blow your mind, Simon, you know, like when the days when you start, you know, like, none of this stuff probably would have been around, would it? Or were you part of this in the early days?
I come from more of a music background when it comes to sound. But,
okay.
Really, the practice, you're right, it has taken, particularly in art institutions, it has taken quite a while for it to be, I suppose, appreciated or displayed in a way that it is approachable. I guess it's a problematic medium for a number of reasons. One is that it takes... It's based on duration, so you can't walk by and look at it and walk away. You have to be there and experience it over sometimes a long time.
All right, so let's paint the picture here, Simon. You get to one of the... It's a, do you call it an installation where it is? And the, yeah?
No, yes, yeah. Yeah.
And so you have to pause, and then all of a sudden, you know, like the sound and music is part of it. So as you said, you just can't move on because you've actually got to take it in. You've got to experience the sound that is actually been generated. Have I got it right there?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, with the outdoor installations, we've got three separate setups with five speakers in a more or less circular arrangement. So, and then in the indoor galleries, we're going to have a couple of installations. One is a 24-speaker surround sound setup, which will really be a very spatialised sound setup that's quite detailed, so you can walk around and experience various points quite interactively.
Yep.
And the other will be a work by Madeline Cornish, an audiovisual work. But the experience of approaching these sites, and particularly outside, is this beautiful moment where you're not sure if you're hearing things or if you're...
Is it voices in my head, Simon? Is that what you're saying?
yeah, exactly. There's this great moment where you second-guess your senses, and I guess that's what we're wanting to spark in people is an attention to the act of listening as well. So, you know, listening is often sound and audio is often a secondary sense, and we tend to privilege the visual, particularly in an art context. But I suppose the exhibition really aims to focus people's listening and be attentive to the layers of sound, textures, and spatial experience of sound.
Right. Okay, now you mentioned Madeline Cornish, and we're going to be chatting with her in a moment. She's one of the artists involved with the exhibition that will be opening in 2 weeks' time inside. Is that right? Have I got that right?
On the 27th of January.
Yeah, in the gallery.
That's right.
But I've noticed that there's a lot of artists involved. How many artists are there involved in this?
Yeah, so we've actually got 27 artists in total.
Yep.
Perhaps 20 of those are from the Aramaki Arts Collection.
Yep.
And then we've got a number of new commissions as well, one of which is Madeline Cornish. And we've got works by... So Madeline Cornish is kind of the main indoor one.
Yep.
And then we've got a number of more performance-based presentations.
Yep.
A series of which is managed by Liquid Architecture, who are a great sound-based organisation based in Melbourne, incorporating new commissions by Amy Hanley and Andy Soddle and Tina Stefano. And we've also got a great interactive, what the artist David Chesworth has made it, he calls it a self-led participatory artwork. And essentially it's a sound walk, which takes the form of a set of instructions.
Oh, okay.
To follow or be prompted by as you go on a sound walk and just really become attentive to your surroundings through listening. And that's available through our website as well, and you can do that anywhere you are, truly.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely amazing. It just fascinates me so much what you're doing here. It's quite groundbreaking in a way, isn't it?
Well, I think this medium's been around for quite a while.
Oh, okay.
It's rare to find an exhibition that focuses, I suppose, purely on the sound aspect. Particularly in an institution that's more geared towards physical or visual art objects or experiences. But it's definitely a challenging medium for audiences, I think, because often there's not much visual or physical material to really kind of ground the experience. But in this sense, we're partnering with RMIT's design studios to create an exhibition design which kind of mimics a forest and a grove where you can explore, similar to the outdoor experience of the sculpture park. So we're looking at ways to make it more accessible in that sense. But it is a rare opportunity to experience sound in great spatial detail with these surround sound setups. Yes, so in that sense, it is quite a rare opportunity.
Yeah. All right, so Simon, as you said, you've got a book online. It's free to get in, but you've got a book online because of COVID. So what's your website?
It's mcclellangallery.com.
Right, oh, that's simple. Now, as we just mentioned a little while ago, that Madeline Cornish is going to be my next guest. Simon, lovely to talk to you again. And I'm so happy, you know, you were talking about the sculptures that are along the freeway, and I was disappointed that the huge silver garden gnome had gone, but it's found a home in Frankston. There it is. And I've actually been mentioning it to friends that live down on the Mornington Peninsula, and they've gone, oh, good, we can go and see it. It's in the heart of Frankston now. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. He's still keeping watch over Frankston. The new one will be installed in September this year.
Right.
So look out for that.
Okay, will do. Simon, a pleasure to talk to you. And as we said, we've got Madeline coming up in a few moments. See you later.
Good on you. Thanks, David.
Right, bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.